Welcome to Due Diligence Beyond the Lease, a short podcast brought to you by the International Due Diligence Organization about what you need to know when you're leasing a commercial property that has nothing to do with the lease, or at least very little. We begin looking at a lease. What do we see? We see a list of terms and conditions that bind you to the lessor. And while this is very good, and there's some things that you always need to look over, such as common area maintenance fees, who's responsible for power, water, heat, cable, phones, gas, etc., as well as repairs, while these are very important, it's also important to take a look at what isn't covered in the lease agreement. Really, I think we can look at this as looking around and in the box of the space that you're going to be leasing. So let's begin with first walking around the space we intend to lease. What do you see? Walk all of the walls. Look at every inch of the ceiling and the floor. Do you see things such as mismatched ceiling tiles, buckled walls, orange peeling plaster? These may be signs of past water damage or trying to cover up from water damage. Look around the windows and the doors. How are the frames? What is their condition? If they're aluminum mullions, they should be in tight condition. The windows shouldn't rattle within the frame. If they're wood or some other product, you should check the windows to make sure that the windows are tight in there and that there's not water or air leaking out. The same is for the frames around your windows and your doors. Is there excessive air leakage? Is there light coming through the cracks? These are all things that will contribute to an increased maintenance with your property, as well as an increased cost of utilities, whether it be heating or air conditioning. As you walk around, look at the outlets. Are the outlets suitable for your type of business? Are they in proper locations? Going from a dance studio to an office, you have a very different set of requirements for outlets. What type of outlets do you need? Whether they be cable outlets, phone jacks, electrical outlets, 110, 220, where they need to be located. I'd also take a look at the lighting. What type of lighting currently exists in the spot? Do you have incandescent, fluorescent, light-emitting diodes, sodium lights? And are they in the right spot? If you're going to need more light, how do you accommodate it? Also looking at both incandescent and fluorescent, there are many cities that now require that all lighting upgrades move away from incandescent to fluorescent. Also, many fluorescent light fixtures have ballasts and power supply systems that are not only woefully out of date and utterly irreplaceable, but they're also not particularly efficient. What is the condition of the power coming into your suite, your proposed suite? Companies on the same circuit that have big amp drawing equipment, whether it be dryers for clothes, welding equipment, large refrigeration equipment, can make the power in your unit exceedingly dirty and cause no end of problems with sensitive electrical equipment. Do you have a sprinkler system? Anymore, I would never lease a property unless it had a sprinkler system or some type of fire suppression. Even in the older buildings, when remodels have been done, sprinkler systems should have been added. Lastly, what is the HVAC, the heating, ventilation, air conditioning units like? What is their SEER rating, meaning how efficient are they? One hopes to find spaces with modern equipment, but in all likelihood, most landlords will not replace the equipment until it breaks. They'll patch it and tie it together and keep it running as long as possible, and not go for new equipment. And this goes back to your lease. Are you responsible for the maintenance on the property? Old equipment requires more maintenance. Further, if you choose to replace the equipment, do you get a credit against your rent? Are you expected to do it? Is it a capital improvement? These things really need to be addressed up front before you sign any lease agreement. Now let's go to the outside. What is the condition of the building? Do you see cracks in the wall? Is the roof coming apart? What is the access like to your doorway? What are the sidewalks like? What are the walkways like? What is the parking lot like? Is the parking good and in good shape? If not, will it be redone? And when and how? I'm very concerned about the parking lot, as a client leased a automobile dealership spot in a common area parking lot. And shortly after he leased the spot, they decided to redo the parking lot. He was told it was going to take 1 week. It's 1 week that he could not put any cars on the lot. In the end, it took 2 months. The 2 months dragged out because it started to rain in an area that's normally dry. And the parking lot that was torn up became a huge mud pit. He was completely out of business for 2 months. What is the signage like? In many cities, there's very restrictive requirements on signage. And while you may be moving into a property that has prominent signage, new zoning signage laws may have gone to an effect where you have to either match the signage on the building or maybe have to come up with your own low-profile signage. This comes to be a difficult point when you're trying to attract eyes towards your name and your business. What type of permits is your business going to need? How long does it take to get those permits? Both getting signage approval and business permits can take many months. Is there any way you can get the approval prior to signing the lease, as opposed to being obligated for 2-3 years of a lease, when in fact you may not get the necessary permits to operate your business? While I've not seen it ever that dramatic, I have seen a restaurateur open a restaurant and not be able to get his signage or get his occupancy permit for 4 months. This was an incredible drain on his treasury and nearly caused him to fail, having a business up and almost open, but responsible for all the costs without any revenue. Is there cooking or heavy manufacturing going on in the location? It's amazing how the smells of manufacturing and or cooking can leak through the walls of a building. I remember myself once renting a spot only to smell cooking oil frying when I was trying to clean up the spot for bringing in our desks and chairs. I talked to the owner of the building, and the restaurant was 4 units down, but somehow the cooking smells were coming in. He was kind enough to relocate me to another unit, but that could have been a very ugly scene. What about the parking lot again? Just coming back to it and the premises in general, are there seasonal uses you're not aware of? Do they stage farmers markets? Do they sell Christmas trees? Do they have events such as antique car shows? I'm not saying that those are bad or that they're necessarily good. That's obviously up to your determination. But it's something you really do need to know. You don't want to schedule a large event during the pre-holiday season only to find out that your parking lot is filled with Christmas trees. Now, let's take a look at who are the other tenants. Are you in a strip mall where there's a huge anchor tenant, such as a grocery store or a major employer? Are you in an office building where you're going to be the coffee shop and there's only one or two major employers? Are they staying or are they moving? You really need to ask that question. In your lease, you're bound for a specific period of time. Nowhere in that lease will it say, if the anchor tenant leaves, you can leave or you can have a lower rent cost. If you're renting a spot based upon an anchor tenant, you have to revisit the lease and talk to the leasing agent and say, if this anchor tenant leaves, I'm leaving. And it has to be clearly stated in the lease. What are the types of businesses there? Car versus car, food versus food, hat versus hat? Typically, the more cars in a general location, or the car dealers in a general location, the better it is for each one of them. This is also sometimes true for food. I say this in that a client leased a spot and had a very unique franchisable idea, and he was using his test store. He was very careful to make sure that no one else in the complex would open food service. He had opened up his doors and was testing the operation when a hamburger place opened up right across the way in the same complex from his hot dog spot. His sales dropped 30% the first month. Neither location was happy. Yet in his lease agreement, it said there would be no competing business. While he was able to get out of his lease and close up the operation and move, it still cost him many hundreds of thousands of dollars. Something that would be more direct competition would be something of an item of apparel. There's many stores now that sell custom embroidered hats. This may be a neat business. I don't wear those types of hats, but it might be a neat business. However, you don't want to have in the same mall two different custom embroidered hat places. There's barely enough business for one, let alone two. This is why you want to be very clear about who are the tenants today, who are they going to be tomorrow. And last, seriously, go out and talk to the tenants. Learn about what they like, what they dislike, what's going on. Some of the tenants in these places have been around for 20 or 30 years. They're going to have a lot of information, and it's wise that you try to harvest that information and learn from them. Now let's take a look at the location and take it one step further. What about access to the location? Access for all the very, very basic needs. I had a client that was based in a computer business, went to lease a commercial space only to find out, before he signed the lease agreement, that the commercial space had no cable service. All of the work he did was through cables. Further, the phone company did not have a sufficiently large T1 or T2 capability that they could offer him. The location was a no-starter. In fact, if he had signed that lease agreement, he would have been out of luck and would have had to lease a second space. What is the water? Most people have very little use of water other than hands and sanitary reasons. But what if you open up a carpet cleaning business? What is the access to water that you're going to need for the volume of water that your service demands? And concurrently with that, what is the sewer like? Are you going to need discharge permits if your water usage is over a certain amount? Take a look at the roads. And this is when you're going to have to go to the city and talk to the city. Does the city have any plans for redevelopment in that area, whether it be running of a new sewer line, new water line, anything that's going to interrupt access to the location you're at? Redoing the street can be a big headache. Redoing the street can cut off access to a location not just for days, but for months. There is the story of a car wash in a little town. My client went to buy the car wash, and we went to the city and talked to them about the redevelopment plans. And in fact, the city had plans to run a new water main and resurface the street, and they expected that access to the property would be impaired for about 9 months. We brought this back to the owner of the car wash, and we said, well, your price is good, but we need a lower price because of the redevelopment. His comment was blunt. He said, I'm quite aware of the redevelopment, but someone else will buy my business, not having done the due diligence that you've done. All of these things can impact the value of the location. Also talk to the city about what is going to be required as a future tenant. For example, at X percent of value of remodeling, you might have to bring the entire suite up to new city code. That's fine. As long as you know that and you sign the lease agreement, that's fine. What about traffic counts, sign requirements? What else is going to impact access to your location? And also, there's another item that has to do with sales. Many lease agreements are based upon, especially in retail, a fixed base plus a percent of sales. Well, a client who did jewelry manufacturing and jewelry retail at the same location had a small problem. He was supposed to pay 6% on all sales. He interpreted this as retail sales, not including wholesale. The landlord interpreted it as all sales, both wholesale and retail. Since his margin on the wholesale was only 2%, when the audit was conducted on his books and records, they demanded an extra $130,000, which my client did not have, and that was the end of his business. Now we have the era of internet. Does that percent of sales also attach to internet sales or phone sales? All of these things should be carefully spelled out in the lease agreement. As you know, and as you can guess after a little bit of a rant like that the due diligence goes way beyond the lease. As most leasing agents have been with the property for less than 3 years, and most owners these days only slightly longer, they will lack the answers you need. I'm sure, however, that presenting them with this level of due diligence, you'll surprise and impress them. Thank you very much.